Welcome to the Excel Pod.
Welcome to Scripture Spotlight, where the text is the star of the show. I'm Garrett.
I'm Corey.
And we are in Philippians chapter 2, summing up this study that we've been entitling, You Be Humble, going all the way back from verse 12 and continuing to verse 18. Today, we're going to be looking at verses 16 through 18, which sums up this idea, and it says this, holding fast the word of life, so that in the day of Christ I will have reason to glory, because I did not run in vain, nor toil in vain. But even if I am being poured out as a drink offering upon the sacrifice and service of your faith, I rejoice and share my joy with you all. You too rejoice in the same way and share your joy with me.
Okay, so start off two things exegetically. You remember at the beginning of this chapter, he said, make my joy complete. Mm-hmm. Now at the end of this chapter, he's saying, you can be glad and rejoice with me. How? If you have this mind that was in Christ, that he explains, and then you actually make yourself humble, that's the way to fulfill his joy, and we can all have joy. Second thing exegetically is in verse 16, he mentions the day of Christ. This is the second time that he's mentioned this idea of the day of Christ, and, you know, the idea here, verse 16, holding fast the word of life, in view of the day of Christ, we need to be doing the things we ought to be doing. In context, what is that? That's being humble. That's putting others before self. It's submitting our will to the will of God. It's allowing ourself to be the servant of everyone, no matter what it costs us. That way, when Jesus comes back, Paul says, I want to be able to look at you and say, good job. The work that I invested in you was not in vain. I'm going to get to see you in eternity. He wants to have cause to glory in them. See, yeah. And back earlier in chapter 1, you remember, he said, I wish I could just, I'm between a rock and a hard place. I'd rather just go be with the Lord. It's better for you for me to stay here and be. So if I'm giving up going to be with the Lord to work with you, then actually work with me. Help me help you so we can all get to heaven.
At least do this so that, yeah, I'm not wasting my time, yeah, here. Yeah. He also, in verse 16, he says, holding fast the word of life. He kind of sums up this list of ways, practical ways that we work out our salvation from verse 12. How do you work out your salvation and kind of apply these principles that he's been giving us? He says, first, you do everything without grumbling or disputing. Second, you prove to be blameless and innocent children of God. He says, third, you be above reproach in this perverse generation. Fourth, he says, you see yourselves as lights. You appear as lights in the world. And then this last one, number five, is you hold fast to the word of life.
And all five of those, you could go a lot of different directions with.
You can.
In application. But in context, it's about humility and others before self.
Yeah. And so he says, so you do this so that you'll be glorified, that he'll have reason to glory, and that the Lord will be glorified, so that he's not wasting his time. The selfish thing, ironically, the selfish thing would have been for him to just go be with the Lord. The humble thing, the needed thing, Paul points out, is for him to be with them and to help them. So let my time be worth something to you, and let me rejoice in what you're doing and the progress that you're making.
Yeah, and then in verse 17, I think he's referring back to his imprisonment being poured out like a drink offering, which is what they would do to top off an animal sacrifice, and the steam that rised up that rose up, would symbolize the offering rising up to God, that kind of thing. So he's rejoicing in the fact that the gospel is having success, which, again, we talked about in chapter 1. Despite his bad circumstances, I don't care. I'm sharing this joy with you because of this sacrificial offering of your faith. I'm giving up what I want to be with the Lord so that I can you know, give my service to the Lord, which has benefit in you. And you're going to be able to do the same thing by the way that you live in your service. You've shown, and he's going to talk about this later on in this chapter, but you've shown, and even in chapter 4 he will, now that I think about it, but you've shown that you can put others before self. You just need to do it with each other now.
Yeah, and he kind of repeats this same, it's almost the same exact words in verse 18 as it is the end of verse 17. He says, I rejoice and share my joy with you all, so you rejoice in the same way and share your joy with me. What he's been placing his joy in, because as we've already pointed out, he can't place his joy in them. He's the reason that, according to chapter 2 and verse 2, maybe his joy is incomplete right now. But what he can place his joy in is that the gospel is progressing. He says, in this I will rejoice, in chapter 1 and verse 18, that Christ is proclaimed. So, in that same way, chapter 2, verse 18, in that same way, you share your joy with me. There's a lot of good that we can do if we don't focus on, you know, finding my joy in how many times that, you know, I can get credit for something, or if my name can be bolstered or printed or published or whatever, you know, fill in the blank there. If I find my joy in what I can do and how great I can make me, then Satan would love that. What we should find our joy in is the Lord and his message being proclaimed. And so whenever we set aside ourselves and we join with Paul and we say, okay, what matters, what I'm going to find my joy in is that Christ is proclaimed, that's a mental state in which the Lord can do a whole lot of good with us.
Yep. So before we get to the next section with Timothy and then Epaphroditus, let's kind of sweep it all in a pile. In verse 5 of chapter 2, he says, have this mind in you which was in Christ Jesus. Then he tells us, starting in verse 6 and going down through verse 11, what that mind of Christ was. And then he tells us in verse 12, beginning, how that they can have that mindset like Christ in the things that they do, down to verse 14. And then verse 15, So verses 15 through 18 is why we need to have that mind, why we need to be like Christ. And you put it all together, and again, this is the second example that he's used of others before self. This is the best example, of course. Jesus is always the best example. But the idea that, again, he's still trying to get through to them, first it was Paul as an example of others before self. Now it's Jesus. He's going to talk about Timothy, Epaphroditus. He's going to talk about himself again. But ultimately, it's the same message being carried through. Humble yourself. Serve each other. Show mercy and grace and love. Put others before self. And if you do that, then not only are you going to be able to grow, not only are you going to be right in the sight of God, not only am I going to be proud of you, not only are you going to be an example to people outside in a divided and fighting world, but that's the only way that true joy can be had, and it's the only way that you can know that eternal salvation can be had as well, because this really is a matter of thinking souls and salvation. It's not just convenient for us to get along. It's a matter of thinking souls.
Yeah, and you've got these huge anchor points that he's going to keep tying back to Jesus, in that, you know, Jesus was humble, so you be humble. The Lord glorified Jesus. He's going to glorify you if you have that same attitude. And Jesus glorified the Lord by representing him well. So you represent him well. You glorify the Lord in the way that you live. Mm-hmm. And then he'll be the one to glorify you. Don't worry about glorifying yourself.
Yeah. Even in little things, you know, he said, don't grumble or complain. What's he going to say in chapter 4? I've learned to be content in whatever state I'm in. Yeah. I'm not grumbling and content. So it all
there's
points
another,
back to this.
If there's someone who's you know, able to grumble and complain about his circumstances, surely it's the guy in a Roman prison cell yeah. writing this. Yeah. But.
Well, that brings us to a close of our study. We're glad that you're with us today. We hope that you will like, share, subscribe, be with us. We're just a daddy and a son trying to study God's Word together, and glad that you can eavesdrop in on us and study along with us. We hope you will 5 to 10 minutes every day. We hope that you'll tell others about it. We hope that you'll share and subscribe and do all the things. But most of all, we hope to see you here tomorrow and every day as we open up God's Word and study together. The message that he has for us on Scripture Spotlight, where the text is the star of the show.